This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, November 20th, 2016. The Solemnity of Christ the King, by Father William Doc Holliday.
He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
As we read Scripture, we always have to be sure of what we are reading, because Scripture uses a bunch of different, what are referred to as literary devices. They use a bunch of different words to paint some pictures, and sometimes you take them literally and sometimes you don't. Don't ever fall into that trap. You take the Bible literally? Yes, I do. What about the parts that say the rivers clap their hands and the trees raise their arms and all this kind of stuff? So there are parts that are to be taken literally and there are parts that are not. The Scriptures are full with metaphors. Our Lord Jesus calls himself the shepherd. He calls himself the true vine. Calls himself bread. Metaphors. He says that we are light in this world. A metaphor. So we have a lot of metaphors. We can kind of fall in the trip. Well, yeah, we hear these things about Jesus, and he's Jesus, and he's God, and, you know, we appreciate that, but, you know, let's just move on. There are some things that are not metaphors, and one of the things that is not a metaphor is that Jesus Christ is King. He is King, not metaphorically. He is the boss of us, so to speak. He is the King. We lose sight in our day and age of this distinction between sovereigns and subjects. We're talking a little bit in the adult forum this morning about how we've lost sight of it. We hear King and it really falls on our deaf ear. We don't do kings anymore. We have democracy. Little footnote on that whole thing. Democracy is not found in this book. Nobody ever votes on anything. When there's a government put in place that the people want, not that God was good enough for them, so they needed a king. So they said, give us a king. So he forms that type of government. Because even that, in a temporal way, shows the relationship between king and subject. Kings are not voted in and out. He wants that to be known to us, because nobody votes him in and out. He is king. Not metaphorically, but truly. And when he says he has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, that is not a metaphor either. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were part of that dark world, that world that is sin-cursed and fallen, and that is going to continue to be degraded until it is burned up. That's the message of Scripture. Not, hey, if you don't run your air conditioner too much or you don't use a big car, everything's going to be just fine. All right? It is a dark and evil place. And we are supposed to be trying to save people out of that dark and evil place. That is the gospel. We are supposed to proselytize. That is our mission. That is our end-all be-all as Catholics, because we are subject to the King. But I want to go sort of foundational today. And understand from the get-go, when we hear, because we hear in the liturgy, our Lord referred to as the King. We hear about his dominion that shall not end. It is, again, I can't emphasize enough, it's true, it's objective. We have this feast day because of the world's view of authority. This feast day of Christ the King, it is not, generally we speak about things and we have, oh, first century, second century, fifth century. The Feast of Christ the King was promulgated to be celebrated by the Universal Church in 1925. my grandparents were young adults in 1925. It wasn't cave writing history, all right? It was relatively recent in the grand scheme of things. Not relatively, very recent in the grand scheme of things. It was promulgated by an encyclical quasprimus that Pope Pius XI promulgated. And it was a response to the world's condition at the time. It's right after World War I. It ended in 1918. You would think, oh, the war's over, so now everything's hunky-dory. It was just the opposite. We had a bunch of different problems. There were countries that were ceasing to exist, that were being torn apart by civil wars. You had new countries popping up. The economy of the entire world had collapsed. Nothing was good anywhere. Pope Pius XI wanted us to appreciate the fact that one of the reasons it was like that is because man had, in his belligerence and arrogance, wanted to run his own life. They didn't even want governments telling them what to do. I have the right to this. I have the right to that. This is about me, what I want. That was why, part and parcel, it was like that. And you know what? It's worse now. It is much worse now. Economy might look all right and everything, but as far as people's outlook of authority, horrendous. It's much worse now. The promulgation of this feast was to give Catholics a perspective. When you're talking about God, this is not a democracy. The Catholic Church is not a democracy. We don't vote for things. It is a hierarchy. That is the way our Lord established it. And He is King, and what He says goes. Period. Let's start with that. Jesus Christ being King. I said, objective fact, not metaphor. Well, why? There is a reason as to why. Cyril of Alexandria, way back when, he says, Christ has dominion over all creatures, a dominion not seized by violence nor taken from anyone, but by His essence and nature. Jesus Christ is King by His essence and nature. You hear some of your Protestant friends, or some that will approach you on sidewalks. Have you made Jesus Lord of your life? You don't make Jesus anything. Jesus is Lord. So the question is, are you subject to Him, or are you a rebel against Him? There is no middle ground. I'm sitting on the fence on this Jesus thing. Nope. You don't do it. You can't do it. You are either a subject of Christ or you are a rebel against Christ. There's a talk about being a subject to our Lord Jesus Christ. He deserves it. It's His by right. As St. Cyril says, by nature and by right. One, by His nature. What do I mean by that? Because He's God. He's God. He's the second person of the eternal, undivided Trinity. God Almighty Himself. He made everything. The second reading today emphasizes that He made everything. The last gospel that we read, that first chapter of John's gospel, at the end of almost every Mass, without Him was nothing made that has been made. He made everything. When you make something, guess what? It's yours. That even applies in our earthly life. If you compose something, or you write something, or you invent something, you can tell the government, hey, I invented this, this is what it is. They give you a copyright. Nobody else can copy it. Why? Because it's yours. It's your property because you made it. Parents, you have authority over your kids because you're the parents. That's all there is to it. There is no whys. There's no debate among children, ought not be, as to the authority of their parents. You make them obey because you're their parents. Why? Because you're their parents. Same thing with Jesus Christ. He made everything. Why does the Holy Spirit emphasize that so much in the New Testament? Because if you make everything, it's yours to do with what you will. Bottom line. This is His by His very nature. That's why it's an eternal kingdom. Why on earth do kings' reigns and queens' reigns end? because they die. Our Lord Jesus Christ has overcome death. He will never die again. Hence, he made everything. It's all his. He will never die. So that's never going to change. It's one of those deal with it things. It's not an option. That is just the way things are. He is also our king by right. You could say, well, he's God and he's by his nature. So that's just a God thing. You know, no, he is your king by right. By that I mean, he put on flesh and came and dwelt among us. He became one of us. He lived a life of subjection to be an example for you. If I, as God, can leave heaven and come down and live amongst you and live one of your lives and be tempted in every way as you are, except without sin, I have a right to tell you what to do because you can't do it. You can't live a life faithful to God. I did in my humanity. 100% man. I lived a life in total subjection to my Father. And here, let me throw a little icing on that cake. I will subject myself to human parents. Kids, disobedience? Really? I just can't listen to what my parents... If God Almighty Himself can be obedient to earthly parents, you can do it too. He is our example of obedience. That's being a subject to our Lord Jesus Christ. By virtue of the fact that you're sitting here voluntarily, you have to understand that you are subject to Him. Your whole presence here has been throughout your life an act of voluntary submission. Or at least you've said. That's what makes it dangerous if you do not submit. The Catholic Church is the kingdom of Christ on earth. The Catholic Church. Notice in that second reading today, he is the head of the church. Singular. It doesn't say he's head of the churches. Doesn't say he's head of everything that will crop up later on down the line. I established a church. I am head over the church. The kingdom of God in this world is the Catholic Church. We prepare to enter that by our repentance, if you're an adult. We enter it by faith and baptism, whether you're an adult or an infant. If you're an infant, well, I didn't do that voluntarily. Your confirmation was voluntary. There is not a child or adult confirmed in these four walls ever when they don't sit across from my desk one-on-one and I look them in the face and say, you cannot do this. You ought not do it. It's a sin to do it if you're doing it because mom and dad want you to or because your friends are doing it or because you're of an age where that's just what you do. I said, you are doing something that is indelible. You cannot erase it away. And if you do it, you will be answerable for it for all eternity. It is indelible. I had to write one of my emails to some folks throwing out the whole, you made a promise to God, and if you don't fulfill it, your souls are in grave danger. About four or five times I've had to write emails like that to people because they don't have this concept that what you did here when you were confirmed is permanent. I didn't get it. I did not. It doesn't make any difference. And yes, you did. You heard. You cannot sit before this altar and say, I believe everything that the Catholic Church teaches and believes to be the revealed will of God. And they go, I don't want to be Catholic anymore. You promised. He will hold you accountable to that promise. Period. Bottom line. And nobody's going to get out of here without hearing that from me because I'm washing my hands of it. The Catholic Church is the kingdom of Jesus Christ in this world. It is the one he established. And when you are a member, voluntarily, because that's why you're sitting here right now, I didn't see anybody drug in here. When you come in here as a subject to our Lord Jesus Christ, you need to act like it. And one of the first things we have to understand about it is the Catholic Church is opposed to the kingdom of Satan. The kingdom of Christ is opposed to the kingdom of Satan. This is the church militant. I've heard here lately that, well, I heard from a bishop, we're not supposed to use that title anymore. We don't use that anymore. Yes, we do. You might not, but the church does, because that's what the church is. It is here to advance the kingdom of Christ. It is here to invade that kingdom of darkness out there. To invade it. To make people understand what they're doing is wrong. To advance the kingdom of Christ. The scriptures say the kingdom of heaven is taken by violence. It doesn't mean violence of the sword. It means making people change their minds. Making them change their mind. Forcing them to change their minds. By the force of truth. By the force of Christ's love. But this is indeed the church militant, and we need to start acting like it. We are not supposed to look like them. We're not supposed to acquiesce to what they want or what they think. We are supposed to confront them. That's why this is here. It is confrontational. We are subjects to Christ the King. He is the general, so to speak, and you are his troops, and he expects you to fight. We need to act like we're subjects. Newsflash. You don't have an opinion in this matter. Like I said, you're sitting here voluntarily. You don't have opinion in this matter. Because I say so? Absolutely not. I don't say anything around here. Not because I say, but because the Holy Spirit says so. St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and I quote, and listen to this, because it's talking about you. If you've been baptized and confirmed, you are not your own. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. A lot of people say, oh, is that the way I dress? Is that the way, you know, way I talk? It is everything that you do on the face of this planet as long as you have breath in your lungs. That is glorifying God in your body. You are a little reflection of Jesus Christ in this world. Well, I don't care what other people think about if I do this. You have to care what other people think, because it isn't about you. It's about the one whom you represent, and that's Jesus Christ, if you're a Catholic. Period. You've got to be cognizant of what other people think. Well, I'm in this situation, and it's not what it appears to be. It doesn't matter if it's what it appears to be. It's what people think. And if they can look and go, oh, look at the Catholic over there. Ha! We have to worry about things like that. We are not our own. We are not our own in anything. You cannot vote on your own. There's a bunch of priests that are in hot water now because during the election cycle, they told people, you cannot vote for this. You cannot vote for it because you will be in grave sin. And you had bishops and cardinals say, oh, you can't say that to people. Yes, you can. And yes, you should. When you cast a vote, it has to be as if Jesus Christ's hand was casting that vote. And we had a little bit of a problem this time because you had one that had a bunch of flaws, but you did have one that was demonic. Demons would relish if one of them got elected. Jesus Christ could not have voted for that. You know, well, he's got all kind of flaws. It's a worldly office. It's a worldly person who wants it. He's going to act like the world. Okay? So be it. Nothing in the whole mix was inherently evil. We might not have liked a lot of the stuff, but none of it was inherently evil. On the other side, inherent evil everywhere. That party platform is inherently evil in some of its elements. And I pull into the shrine the other day, and a bumper sticker for that party is on someone's car parked at the shrine. I hope their penance was go out and scrape that off. It is grave sin. It is grave sin not to reflect your king. That's the way it is. Even in these days when we don't have king. Well, I don't want to do what the king says in this or in that. Get up on I-4. and drive like you want to because you don't agree with what the king says about speed limit. See what happens. Okay? We even have to live that. We have voluntarily said that we are subjects of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. People hate this word when I throw it out. You are his slave. You must do what he says. Everything. What slave could ever look at their master and say, I'll do this way, but I'm not doing that. See what that gets you. That's why the scriptures use that analogy self-consciously. We are slaves to our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the king. We are subjects. We didn't vote him in. We can't vote him out. He doesn't have term limits. He's eternal. We got to start acting like we're his subjects. We got to humble ourselves. That's what it's all about. Making yourself a subject of our Lord Jesus Christ is humbling yourself, is being obedient. And he is our example par excellence. So St. Jose Maria Escriva, the founder of Opus Dei, he talks about our humility, for people who question our humility. And he says, and I quote, "The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, hidden in bread. To this extreme, he has humbled himself for love of you." We think of our Lord Jesus Christ's humility, and we think of the incarnation, we think of his passion, and then we kind of leave it at that. Every time you come to Mass, every time you come to adoration and you cast your eyes on it, the world would come in here and go, what are they, idiots? Look at them. They're all on their knees in front of a piece of bread. That's ridiculous. We're before our sovereign king. Well, how do you say? Because the king said, this is my body. This is my blood. With no, that's metaphorically my body, or this is spiritually my blood. If he's powerful enough to separate the Red Sea and to bring people back to life and to make blind people see, raise people from the dead, guess what? It's no huge task to change bread and wine into his body, blood, soul, and divinity. He humbles himself like that for us all the time. While you are home struggling with your humility on occasion, which we all do, the next time you do that, kind of step back and think, God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth out of nothing, is in a box on the altar in a little church on Edgewater Drive, waiting for me to come in the next thing. The Lord of creation. And if you still got your problem with humility, we got to talk. We have to subject ourselves to him. When we subject ourselves to him, we make a public pronouncement of our consecration to him. We pray for others who have not consecrated themselves to him. Pope Pius XI, in Quas Primas, one of the elements of the Feast of Christ the King is that at every Mass at the Feast of Christ the King, the world will be consecrated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I get it every year. We do that. We'll do that in place of the prayer for the people today. And somebody came out and go, I've been a Catholic for 50 years. And I have never seen during the Mass of Christ the King the consecration to the Sacred Heart. It's in the encyclical. It's not a suggestion. Hey, this would be a nifty thing. You will consecrate yourself and the world to the Sacred Heart of Jesus during the Feast of Christ the King. I actually heard anecdotally, it was brought up at a parish, whether it be close or far, makes no difference. It was brought up to Father that, hey, you know, during Christ, I read that you're supposed to do, you know what was said? I don't do that publicly. And the reason was because there are a lot of people in the parish who aren't ready for that. Really? Really? What is the problem there, Father, that there are people in your parish that aren't ready to consecrate themselves to the Sacred Heart of Jesus? We do that every time we go, oh, they'll receive him into their soul, body, blood, soul of it, but they can't consecrate themselves to him publicly. That is a serious problem. That is an obedience and a humility problem. We are to do that. Pope Pius XI says, because the question stands, are you subject to him or are you not? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.